Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us today through His Word, the Bible. Jezebel is a name we find quite often in 1 Kings. As queen, she marked another of the low points in Israel's history. Her record is not only found in the Bible, but men digging in the earth in Palestine have noted in the stratum of Ahab and Jezebel jars containing the remains of children that had been sacrificed to the god of Baal. You will recall that Jezebel was a great follower of Baal and tried to force others to turn from the living God to Baal. Another interesting sidelight of the work of these archaeologists is regarding Jezebel's cosmetics. In an expedition sponsored by Harvard University and others, they discovered in Ahab's ivory house the very saucers, small stone boxes in which Jezebel probably mixed her cosmetics. There were a number of containers for various colors. In the center was a depression for mixing. They could still see traces of red. Well, so much for Jezebel. But this does serve as an introduction to 1 and 2 Kings, books in which she plays a prominent role. We're doing a survey of the Bible in this series. Our textbook is titled Summary of the Bible. The author is William MacDonald, and we're on Lesson 4 and page 1 of that lesson, The Downfall of the Monarchy. 1 and 2 Kings embrace a period of 453 years in the history of the kingdom. These books begin with the death of David and the crowning of his son Solomon as king. The latter asked God for wisdom and was given not only wisdom but riches and honor. Outstanding among his achievements was the building of a magnificent temple for the Lord and a house for himself. But he erred in marrying heathen wives who lured him into idolatry. Also, he accumulated horses and trusted in them rather than in the Lord. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam was next in line to succeed him. However, instead of decreasing the taxes which Solomon had levied to finance his luxurious reign, Rehoboam threatened to increase the people's burden. Thereupon, the northern 10 tribes, known as Israel, revolted. They named Jeroboam as king, with capital in Samaria. Rehoboam was left with only the tribe of Judah and parts of Levi, Simeon, and Benjamin. This is what is known then as the divided kingdom. The 10 tribes of Israel were the northern kingdom, and Judah became the southern kingdom with headquarters at Jerusalem. Then followed a series of kings in each kingdom. The kings of Israel were all bad. The kings of Judah were some bad and some good. The kingdom of Israel continued until it was taken into captivity by the Assyrians in 721 B.C. Judah continued for about 134 more years, and then was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Here are several important points that should be remembered about the divided kingdom. We find special emphasis is given to certain kings. Jeroboam, first king of Israel, set up golden calves in Dan and Bethel as idols. Ahab was a notoriously wicked king and was urged on by his wife Jezebel. And as we've already noted, they were worshippers of the heathen god Baal. The 8 good kings of Judah are Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoash, Amaziah, Azariah, Jotham, Hezekiah, and Josiah. The prophets were active during this period. Elijah gained his great victory over the Baal worshippers on Mount Carmel during Ahab and Jezebel's reign. Then Elisha, famous for his many miracles, prophesied to the kings of Israel from Joram to Jehoahaz. Finally, many of the prophets whose words are recorded in the latter part of the Old Testament ministered during these years. Let's pause now for some music before we look at 1 and 2 Chronicles. These Old Testament books have many lessons for us today. We hope this survey will cause you to want to read through these books again more carefully. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour, and we're just ready to look at 1 and 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Remember, this entire correspondence course, Summary of the Bible, is available for study in your home. Listen for our address at the close of the program. Also, we have many other excellent Bible courses to help you in your continuing education in the Scriptures. At first glance, 1 and 2 Chronicles seem to be merely a repetition of portions of history that have been previously covered in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, for instance, is very much like 1 and 2 Samuel. It gives many details of David's reign. 2 Chronicles parallels 1 and 2 Kings in that it records the reign of Solomon and then reviews the kings of Judah under the divided kingdom. And yet there are certain respects in which Chronicles are very different from the books that precede them. 1 Chronicles opens with 9 chapters of genealogies, beginning with Adam, and continuing until at least to the time of Judah. Judah was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. The Chronicles repeat the story from a religious and priestly standpoint rather than from a historical and political view. The Ark, the Levites, the priests, the porters, and the temple itself are given prominence. In the Chronicles, the northern kingdom, Israel, is practically unnoticed. It is the reign of David and his direct successors with whom God is interested. This is because they are of the line through which the Messiah was to come. David's sin is largely passed over. Rather, the emphasis in the Chronicles is on the blessings that follow obedience. The last two verses of 2 Chronicles give us a clue as to the reasons for both of these books. There we read of the decree of Cyrus permitting the captives of Judah to return to Jerusalem after 70 years in exile. In other words, these books were written after the Babylonian captivity. In returning to their homeland, the Jewish people would require certain information. First, they would need to know their genealogies in order to find out what portions of land belong to them. Second, they would also need their genealogies to tell which ones were eligible to serve as priests and Levites in the temple. In addition, the book of Chronicles would give the returning exiles a spiritual outline of their past history. And best of all, it would brighten the hope of their coming Messiah, who would sit on the throne of David. Right after the book of 2 Chronicles, we have the book of Ezra. Here's some of the background for that book. When Cyrus decreed that the Jewish exiles could return to their land and rebuild the temple, Zerubbabel assembled an expedition of 50,000 people and went to Jerusalem. They quickly went to work and laid the foundation of the temple, but they were soon hindered by some Samaritans whose help had been refused. A considerable delay followed until the prophets Haggai and Zechariah encouraged the people to get on with the work. Finally, in the reign of Darius, The building was completed and dedicated amid much rejoicing. Approximately 60 years later, Ezra led another group of about 1,700 exiles back to Jerusalem. Upon arrival, the leader was grieved to find many of the people, even priests and princes, had married foreign wives. He then undertook the work of reform, with the results that the people confessed their sin and agreed to put away their heathen wives. Following Ezra is the book of Nehemiah. Although the temple was now rebuilt, the walls of Jerusalem were in ruins. As a result, the city was subject to attack from foreign foes. During the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, a Jew named Nehemiah was authorized to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. Again, the Samaritans opposed vigorously, but Nehemiah was not easily discouraged. He organized, armed, and trained the people so well that the work was finished in 52 days. Then the people were assembled, and the law was read to them. A revival broke out, with fasting, confession, forsaking of sins, and worship. After 12 years in Jerusalem, Nehemiah returned to Persia. During his absence, the people lapsed into sin, so that when he came back to his native land again, he found them allowing strangers in the temple. He noted that they were failing to support the Levites. Also, they were breaking the Sabbath and marrying foreign wives. Nehemiah reformed these abuses and instructed the people in the ways of the Lord. At this point, the history of the Old Testament actually closes. These events took place approximately 400 years before the birth of Christ. Nothing is recorded in the Bible of the following four centuries. The last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi, lived during the time of Nehemiah, so that his book is actually contemporary with this one, Malachi being of the same time as Nehemiah. We have one more book in this section, the book of Esther, but we'll save that for next time. Remember, we'd like to send you this entire course in book form. Stay tuned for our address and information on how you can obtain this summary of the Bible. This is the Emmaus Bible Hour.